Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Now Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry with your messenger, Apostle W.J. Armstrong. And today I want to thank you for listening. Thank you in advance for listening during this season. You've taken your time to listen to this broadcast to see the message that will be given. Hopefully it will bring peace and hope to you as you apply it to your daily living. Apply. Now, today we're going to talk about, what did Jesus mean by "my peace I give to you"? And we're going to deal with Scripture, John 14:27. And let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we come to you now. We come to you taking the command that your beloved Son given us in this season, whenever people are celebrating what they call Easter, what some call resurrection, and what some call Passover. I just thank you and praise you. Let your Holy Spirit go forth and quicken those individuals that are listening and help them to understand that they need to do the research on themselves and not listen and wait for somebody else to do it for them. Because Almighty Creator, when we do research ourselves, we have to take ownership of it. We can't come up and say that somebody else said so and so. No. It becomes ours. And people need to do what I had to do. I went and did the research. And I came up with a position that was in conflict with that which, with my tradition, my experience, and my reason. In Jesus' name, the Messiah, the one that we are beginning, this celebration began last week with what we call Palm Sunday. And this Sunday, we're celebrating the Resurrection Sunday, or some people call it Easter. And we just thank you and praise you for your Son and the message, the ministry, the gospel message that he left for us. In his name, amen. Now, let's move right to the scripture. The scripture is clear. It says, "Peace I leave with you." Sound like Jesus is about to go somewhere, huh? That's what you say whenever you have been visiting friends or family. And you're leaving. You're getting ready to leave. And you are leaving memories. You're leaving with them an understanding of who you are. And it may be different from the last time. But listen, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. He made it clear that it's his peace. And where his peace come from? And when we look at John 17, we see that his peace came from the Father, the one who sent him, the one that gave him the words and gave him the 12 disciples. And I think the scripture reads, the 12 men He said, Jesus referred to them as 12 men that you gave me. And the message that you gave him, he gave them. So somewhere in that message, we must be able to find peace. He said, again, peace I leave with you. My peace on the ship. Whose peace is it? Is it man peace? No, he said, my peace. So it's the Savior peace, the Messiah peace. And what did he do with it? He said, I give to you. Now, we're going to pause here. We're living in a time now when we got ideologies. We got conservative ideology, which says that got to hold on to things. Conserve. Just take the term literally. Conserve. And then we apply that to this message today. Does it line up with what is said here? He made it clear that he is giving away that which was given to him. And why do we say, how do we know he had peace? And when we look at his life in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when we look there, he talks about the trials and tribulation that he faced and how he overcame them. And even on his last walk to the cross, what did he say? He made it clear that what he saw, he had issues with. He looked at it, and he realized that he would be separated from the Father once he do what it is that he was set out to do, sit here to do. So he go back to the Father, and he says, I take this cup from me, let this cup. In other words, is there any other way that this can be done? If it is, he wanted to know. But he understood. What did he say? He says, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, he knew that if it's the Father's will being done, then he's going to have a certain level amount of peace. That connection is still going to be there between him and the Father. And it goes on, I do not give to you as the world gives. Now, when he said that, there must be a distinction between what he's given and what is he's given. He's given peace. There must be a difference between the peace he's given and the peace that the world has. And that's one reason that this was placed in my spirit, and this is why we are having a discussion about it today. You look around you. You see conflict. You see all of these situations, circumstances that are in conflict with each other. And everybody wants peace. You look at what's happening in Russia and what's their position on Ukraine. What happened in Russia impacted the Ukrainians. And that impact caused conflict because the Russians started a war with the Ukrainian. So, as we look at all of this, can you have peace in conflict? Now, what are they talking about? They're telling the Russians and the Ukrainians need to come to some resolution. Peace. So that's the what Jesus was referencing. Look at what happened in Europe. World War One, World War Two, World War Three, World War One, they say it ended. They had peace. The world. Then we get World War Two. We get another end, and that's more peace. But is that the peace that Jesus was talking about? We need to really get serious here. Does this mean that peace is unattainable? Think about it. Peace of the one who believes in the teaching of the Messiah. Think about it. And we go on. What did Jesus say? After he said his statement, his statements, his position on about peace, now he tells us, told them, as recorded in the book of John, 14 chapter, 27 verse, don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. So now, if he is peace, it's going to give us the quietness that we need, that we can have his peace in the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of conflict. I want us to really give it some serious thought here, because what else is in that same chapter, in the verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So now, Jesus is establishing himself in previous verses as to who he is and what authority that he's speaking with. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we go on and look further. When Jesus in John 14, again, verse 13 through 14, he's in there. Again, he makes it clear what his position is, what is going to take place, and how they should not be disturbed by it. We look at what is going on now. What is going on? And he said, they basically excerpts from the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, verse 4. Even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That was the Father speaking before Jesus came into the world. So what is it saying to us? it says that whenever we are doing things, our decision-making process and everything that lined up with the Word of God or the Son, then we have divine peace. And where does that divine peace? It comes from the Creator. Divine peace comes from our Lord and Savior. It goes beyond. It goes beyond that which we experience in the world. All I'm saying is to you, as Jesus says at the end of John 14:27, that's what he means by don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. And we see he's talking to the disciples. He's preparing them for what is to come. And when we look at what was coming back then and look at what's coming now and what he faced, what do we see? We see he had peace. Peace. As he went to this cross, as he dealt with the sins of the world, he knew he had overcome the world. He knew that there was nothing that the world could do to harm him. Now, that's what we are, the season we are in. This is not the season of the bunny rabbit. This is not the season of the Easter egg. That's the world's way of celebrating this. And what happened? Where did that come from? That comes from paganism, the fertility cult. Think about it. Think about what happens this time of year in the spring, the newness. The newness. We're coming out of what? We're coming out of the dark, cold winter. And we, new life is beginning. New life. All of this corresponds with the fertility cult, the whole Easter egg. And that's what egg, that's what that symbolizes. That's why I challenge you to read the word for yourself. And when you begin to read the word for yourself, your eyes begin to open up. You can then understand why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, nor be fearful, because he has already given you peace. Maybe I should just read this again for your hearing and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into all understanding. Again, I'm just going to read it completely through. Peace I leave with you. And this is Jesus talking. He's talking to the disciples. Peace I leave with you. That's a period there. Now, listen to me clearly. There was no punctuation when this was written. It was one continuous. Man put the punctuation in here later on whenever it was translated over to the English. Okay. But I'm going to read it the way that it is now written. And then I'm going to go back and read it the way that in its original form. Peace I leave with you. A complete thought. My peace I give to you. Period. Complete thought. Then he goes on, I do not give to you as the world gives, comma. No, that's a period. I'm sorry. I have on my glasses, my four eyes, that looked like a comma, but it's a period. Complete thought. Then he says, don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. In there, whenever you down, whenever you take a look at it, there's powerful authorities in there. But you just think about all that's going on now. And think about how it is impacting your life. Now, I'm clear about this now. This is, if this was written for us, we need to be able to apply it. How is what we're looking at today impacting us? Are we getting bent out of shape and being revengeful? Are we saying, where is God? Whenever Jesus made it clear just in that one scripture, he made it clear that we should be at peace during this time that we are living in. Because he gave us that peace. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. People who are in the world are confused. People who are in the world now, they're being revengeful. People who are in the world now going through all kinds of changes. The suicide rate is up. They're crying and complaining, price of gas going up. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Not understanding that they've been through this before. I know I have. And I know I was able to go through it then. I ate. I drove. Maybe some of those trips that I took, I didn't really need to take them anyway. I just looked at the situation and circumstances that I was dealing with, and I governed myself accordingly. And that gave me a sense of peace. And the word also in Proverbs, the peace that passes all understanding, that we don't lean on our understanding. I don't understand it. And now I say, I don't understand it. And I know I don't understand it. However, I have the word, the foundation, the word. I can count it all joy as I go through this. That's because I read the word. And it is in my heart and in my mind. It will come to me. No, I can't sit here and quote scripture like some people, but give me the book, the holy book, and I will go in there and find it and show you where it is. But the word, my understanding of the word, and my relationship with the Creator says that I don't need to walk around quoting scripture, John 14, John 16. John 17. But it is in me. I have internalized it. I can do in this season that we're in. People getting in all kinds of debates and all kinds of discussion about Easter. Is it biblical? You won't find the word Easter in the Bible, period, in your holy book. It's not there. I just want to, but I don't go around telling people that and arguing with people or even discuss it. If they bring it up, then we'll have a conversation about it, and then I will give them the historical background, and I'd keep it moving. Because one thing I learned from my Sunday school director years ago, Sister Florence Thompson. She used to say this, and when I first heard it, I just laughed. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. In other words, you just waste your time and your energy because that person has not changed. That person still believes in what that person started out with believing. I'm not here to get you to change what you believe. I'm here just to give you points of reference. I'm here to challenge you. To challenge you so you know what it is you believe and why you believe it. So you can sit with people if somebody come up to you. So you would do the research. My telling you means nothing. People told me. You know what I said? That ain't what I was told. That's what they told me in church. Tradition. I was governed by tradition. And if we be honest about it, and be honest, Easter to me, growing up, meant Easter egg hunt, where I got to be with my little friends and we went out, they hid the Easter egg and we went out finding Easter eggs. That was fun. Got new clothes. Look forward to that. New shoes, new socks, new suit, new tie, the whole works. That's what it was all about for me. Yeah, I went to church. Yeah, I was in the Easter play. But I was there more so showing off my new stuff that I had as opposed to really understanding that little verse that I had to say, a part that I had to say in that Easter play. Tradition govern how I understood what Easter was all about. And as I matured and grew, I began to understand and equate a relationship with newness of life with the resurrection of Jesus. Newness of life, spring comes. What happens? That which was dead comes alive. What did Jesus do? And let's back up now. Let's back up a bit for a moment here. What happened to Jesus? He was crucified. And all of those sins and everything was overlaid onto him. And he carried that stuff to the grave. He carried it to the grave. He buried it into the earth. What happened? I grew up on a farm. That's what we did. We put the seed in the ground, in the earth. And it stayed there for a time. And it sprouted. It came up, cracked the earth and came up. What did Jesus do? He was buried. And then he rose up from the dead. Life, new life, newness. Same as what we did on the farm. New life came. And think about all the things that new life that would bring. And then think about all the things that Jesus brought. And it's still here today. You say, now, Apostle, you're stretching it. No, I'm not stretching it. I just challenge you to get a seed, get you some dirt, put the seed in the dirt, and put a little water on it. Don't drown it. Just put a little water on it so it's moist, and just let it sit someplace where it's warm. Let the sun hit the earth, hit whatever pot you put it in, and watch it come to life. That's how I began to equate Easter, the resurrection. That's how Jesus rose. Jesus rose. And because he rose, what did he do? What benefits do we have as a result of his rising that we didn't have before? One, we'll reconcile back to the Father, the most important one. But now let's deal with this seed again. We planted it. It grew, came up. It produces what? Depending on what that seed is. That seed could have produced cotton, could have produced corn, could have produced tobacco, could have produced the peas, and let's just say the garden vegetables. How did that benefit us? Down on the farm, the cotton, it grew. We sold that. We got money for the cotton. And what do we do with that? We took that and it did what? Whatever we needed. Back then, you hardly had to go to the grocery store, but the little items you needed from the grocery store, you could go get them. The equipment was replaced. And the food out of the garden. We ate year-round, in season. And that corresponded with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 forward. A God that put in the earth everything that we would need, that has a seed in it. Okay, now let's Jesus said he gives peace, but his peace is not like the world. Okay, the food we get now, let's just take a watermelon. What do we buy when we go to the store? A seedless watermelon. Yeah, a seedless, very convenient. We used to, wild watermelons, we used to see who could spit the seed the farthest. It was a game. But God said he gave us everything with a seed was good for us. Now here, man done changed things and took the seed out that God put in there and said was good for us. He's man, no, this is more convenient. Y'all need to get the watermelon without the seed. And think about it. The death, the life. And see, other thing with back to Jesus now, the life. I can connect with Jesus living and walking here on this earth. It was not a bed of roses for him. When he was younger, what did he do? He studied. What does the word tell us to do? We need to study to show ourselves approved. He studied. And people, when he went to the place of worship, the gathering place. I'm just using that now, so it's universal. Gathering place. There was went to the temple. Now we say going to the church. Both of the gathering place, a place where we gather. He was in there teaching. And they were marveling at him teaching. We can do something similar if we study. But we got it so We don't have time to read. Okay, don't have time to read, fine. You don't need to read. Yeah, I said it. You don't need to read. So don't come up here and tell me, well, I don't have time to read. Like me now, I got to have glasses. Well, I couldn't find my glasses. No, I won't hear that. I have Audible books. I have the Bible on my smartphone. And I just go there, Audible books, Book of John. I listen to it. It is, I haven't found that there's any conflict between what is written on that page and what is read to me on Audible books. I can listen. My hearing is not bad. Nowadays, if hearing is bad, you go to the doctor and get a hearing aid. They just pass a law where you don't have to pay all them thousands of dollars for a hearing aid anymore. And you don't really need to, you know, you can get Medicare, will take care of the price of it. So there's no excuse that, and if you got Medicaid, you still can get a hearing aid. Well, you're going to say, well, I don't have time. Well, the word also is clear in the book of Revelation that men are going to be lost anyway. So maybe you're just one of those that's going to be lost because you didn't have time. You didn't take time. But you had time to do everything else. Say if Jesus, you know, this season we're in now, everybody's going to be jumping up and down, going to sunrise service on tomorrow, and then they're going to have breakfast, and then they're going to listen to the spoken word, and then they're going to come back, oh, he or she certainly did preach. That certainly was a good message. What did it say? I don't know, but it was certainly a good message. Why did you go there? Tradition? You have a tradition of going to sunrise service? I know I used to. And when I was pastor, I did the same thing. And it got so good, sometimes we wouldn't even have it at church. We would have it outside. We wouldn't have it in the building. Just as the sun was rising. I want you to think about that and do your research on that too. You begin to see some correlation between some other belief systems that's out there. All I'm saying is, know what it is you believe. Know why you believe it. Because when you do that, it becomes you. That's how you're going to let your light shine. You can't let your light shine if you don't have batteries. There has to be something to make that bulb glow. This season that we're in, it is a marvelous season. People say it's a high holy day. Why are they saying that? We don't have time today for me to go into that for several different reasons. One of them is about the Benjamin. I mean, you come to church, you leave an orphan, and finance committee, they count it all up. They know what the members gave, and they know what the visitors gave. So a lot of people, whenever they're preparing for this day, they create a whole lot of extra activities, opportunities for you to come and give. But what is that saying about the season itself? What is that saying about what Jesus was all about? The risen Savior. Are we focusing on giving the message to the people? What are we focusing on? If Jesus is the reason for the season, you know, they say that at Christmas time too. Jesus is the reason for the season, but yet they run out and spend all their money buying gifts. I'm getting ready to open the mics now. So anybody that has any comments, anybody take exception to anything that I've said thus far that you've heard, if it's not based in spiritual fact, keep it to yourself. Because we're not entertaining anything that is conspiracy-type theories. Anybody have any comments? Because I saw it going over today. Normally it's 30 minutes and 15 minutes. Comments and discussion. Anybody have any comments that they would like to make in terms of the season, in terms of whether it's their tradition, how are you responding to this season? Is it out of tradition, experience, or is it out of the real resurrection experience? What has it done for you? And what are you doing once you are touched by this? What are you doing? Mics are open. All right. Is there anyone that would like to make a written comment? The email address is talking, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, D-R-U-M, drums, D-R-U-S, the number 12, at gmail.com. Talkingdrums at gmail.com. And the station is getting ready to undergo an evaluation. And so we really would like to have your comments. And it is Crown Talking Drums is the internet radio station. And it's been around since August of 2017. And we are now reaching 9,000 listeners. And I want to thank you listeners from all over the earth at this point for tuning in to the Crown Talking Drums internet radio station, and that we classify ourselves as being an empowering. And we empower the community. Our community now, when we started out, it was a community of local. Now our community is global. It is part of Global Coalition Training Institute. And it is that arm that is reaching out and carrying the message of Jesus Christ. And our message is an applied message. And I am the founder of the station. And again, if you have any comments, any questions, anything, Crown Talking Drums at the number 12 at gmail.com. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And in the a.m., at 7 a.m., you will have, that will be when the next program, next ministry program will be. And whenever we, I invite you to tune into that. It will be with the evangelist, teacher, Cunningham, for such a time as this. I know it's early in the morning, but tune in and you will truly be blessed. And then the next program on Sunday is Did You Know? At 4 p.m. And tune in there, because success leaves footprints. And then the last one on tomorrow is Words That Work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. And that takes care of our lineup for tomorrow. And I trust that you might have heard of something there, might have gotten your attention, and you may want to tune in. All again, thank you. And shalom, shalom.